So what if one of the legs of the tripod that keeps us standing upright and strong is broken, faulty, and collapses? We will not be able to stand. Good morning, dear listener and viewer. Welcome to this week's encouraging message that we have for you. I trust that you've had a good week. We're excited to share with you a new series that we're going to be starting this morning called Spirit, Soul, and Body. But before we do, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessing and privilege of life. We thank you for this new day. Thank you that your mercies and compassions are new and your grace for us is new. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to sit around your word, meditate on it, and share it with each other. Thank you, Lord God, that you're watching over your word to perform it and achieve the purposes for which you send it forth. Father, this is not entertainment and it's not transfer of information. We pray that this time that we spend looking at your world will transform us and help us be the men and women of God that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, this series is called Spirit, Soul, and Body. Foundation scripture that I'd like to share with you comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. New King James reads as follows. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this series, we're going to be talking about the spirit, soul, and body, and the specific detailed plan that God has put together to ensure that we enjoy a life of abundance here on earth that Jesus paid for. And this teaching will help us not only for survival currently, but also for the future, to thrive into the future as we get closer to the return of Jesus. We'll be looking at what I'd like to call the scriptural definition of spirit, soul, and body, because throughout the scriptures and in our everyday colloquialism, our common day language, there's an interchangeability of those words. So we're going to be looking at the scriptural definition of spirit, soul, and body that make us up as human beings. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and they are housed in a body. And as a spirit, we actually are eternal beings that existed in the mind of God. Because there was never a time when God did not exist. God chose a day and a time and a place for us to come into this world. Our spirits can be described as the seat of our will and our intellect and all our mental faculties. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit." The spirit part of us is the part that gets born again when the Spirit of God makes us new. At our conversion or the newborn, new birth experience, our spirit that gets born again. And truth be told, we're already living our lives of eternity. Often people speak of one day in eternity, but our spirits are already eternal beings or eternal aspects of us that are existing into eternity. Our spirits are the parts of us that will never die unless we're separated from God if we choose to live separate from Him. Our souls, on the other hand, can be described as the seat of our appetites, desires, emotions, our passions, and our feelings. Human beings have four basic appetites: an appetite for food, sex, an appetite for material possessions, and an appetite for spiritual things. We touched briefly on this when we spoke about the week of prayer and fasting a while ago. Those are the four human appetites. And our souls can also be described as the battleground of the flesh and the spirit. It's in this soulish realm that the enemy engages us as he comes to try to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's the battleground for our souls as our fleshly, old fleshly nature continuously warring against the new nature of Jesus Christ inside every born-again believer. Our souls are affected by what we allow into our lives through our senses, our sight, our smell, taste, our touch, and our hearing. Those are the gates, so to speak, through which things can enter into our soul and affect us either positively or negatively, depending on what we choose to focus our time and our mind and our attention on. And for a deeper study of the difference between the soul and the spirit, scripturally speaking, you can read Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 13, and Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 26. Our bodies are the physical or earthly homes for our spirits and our souls. And at our death, our bodies are the parts that go back into the ground, the earth, the dust from where we came. God formed us from the dust of the earth. And at the resurrection, we receive our new spirit bodies, bodies that are no longer subject to illness and disease, sickness, no longer experience pain and suffering ever again. Something to look forward to, isn't it? And the challenge is for the promises and power of God in the heavenlies to be made known and felt and experienced here down on earth. God needs willing people who make their bodies, souls, and spirits available to Him, to be used by Him as He sees fit. The opening question was, what if one of the legs of the tripod, spirit, soul, and body, that keeps us standing strong, faulty, or breaks down? Folks, you know that no tripod with one leg will stand. It will be a bipod that's out of balance and will keel over and fall. And our bodies are sacred to God. And as such, we must do everything we possibly can to treat our bodies with the respect, care, and honor that God thinks our bodies deserve. There's a fine line between spending too much time concentrating on our bodies and glorifying them unnecessarily, as opposed to honoring them in a way which pleases God and brings glory and honor to God. Over the years, I've come to find that people in general have a challenge when it comes to the topic of dietary principles and looking after our bodies. There's various dietary fads that come and go, and opinions and ideas that change with the passing of time. And I think over time, Christians in particular, and I'm one of them, have difficulty understanding these things. I think that sometimes Christians, we think that we are immune to certain scientific principles when it comes to looking after our body. The truth be told is our bodies are like computers, so to speak. If you put garbage and junk into a computer, the only information and use that you'll get out of the computer is garbage and junk. So the challenge is understanding what's God's idea of honoring the bodies that He's given us. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 says, "For the life of the body is in its blood." Key words: the life of the body is in its blood. "I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible." Bear with me, you're going to see the importance of the role that the blood plays in our body. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, scripture says, "The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. Just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." So the Spirit of God living in us will give life to our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17 reads, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple." Strong words. "For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." These three verses serves as a foundation to help us understand the importance that the body part of the tripod that keeps us standing is looked after and cared for. The life is in the blood, which is in our bodies. The Spirit of God gives life to our bodies, and that our bodies are the temple of the Lord. God came to man. God walked amongst man. God has chosen to live inside of man. That's where we are now, folks. So it's important that we take care of our bodies in a godly way. The challenge is that the freedom that we have as Christians demands much responsibility. With much freedom comes much responsibility. And I think this is the challenge that most people have with us, because in terms of the New Testament, we are free to eat and drink whatever we want to. That's the beautiful liberty that we have. But the challenge is that with that freedom comes much responsibility. So we have as much freedom as we have just as much responsibility to take care of ourselves. Romans chapter 14 gives a thorough explanation of the freedom that a Christian has concerning our eating habits. Basically goes on to explain that in terms of the new covenant of grace, you can basically eat what you want, when you want, how you want. However, the Apostle Paul gives us a very clear warning as to how we should exercise that freedom. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, and to the B part of verse 13 says, "You say, I'm allowed to do anything," and I'm paraphrasing this morning. "You say, I can eat anything, but not everything is good for you." So we have the freedom to eat what we want, but not everything we eat is going to be good for our bodies. The verse goes on to say, "And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything, let alone our appetites sometimes get out of control." We touched on this last time when we spoke about prayer and fasting. "You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, but someday God will do away with both of them." So there we see the practical guidelines that the scripture gives us as to what we should not be doing with our bodies, the way in which we eat. Now, the practical application of this teaching is not a diet. Listen clearly, folks. It's not a diet. Diet comes and goes, and people seldom stick to diets. The practical application of this teaching is a positive lifestyle change that becomes life-giving. That's worth repeating. If we apply this teaching practically to our lives, it will amount to a positive lifestyle change that ends up being life-giving. We said the scripture teaches us in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 that the life of our bodies is in the blood. The interesting thing is that modern medicine and current science has shown many, many times over that when the blood in our body is given the chance to do what it does, according to the scripture, in other words, heal and bring life, there is no disease or pandemic or coronavirus or anything that can stand against the healing power of the blood that God has put in our bodies. The challenge is we seldom give our blood chance to bring that life. There's our blood and there's the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus shed his blood on the cross to pay the price for our salvation and our redemption and our freedom and our liberty. In our bodies, we have the life-giving power of the blood in our bodies to bring healing and restoration and combat against all forms of diseases and sicknesses out there. There is no known disease created by any demon in hell that can stand against the life-giving power of the blood in the human body, provided we give that blood the chance to bring the healing that God promises us. And that so often is the area of difficulty and the challenge that so many of us face. With sick, dying bodies, we could end up limiting what God would want to do in and through us. Somebody has once said that, "Who wants to die healthy?" My question that I ask applied to that is, who wants to live sick? And here's an example of a preservative-free, gluten-free, MSG-free, that's monosodium glutamate, GMO-free, no genetically modified organisms, no artificial flavorants, colorants inside this meal that's very healthy for you. Here is a picture of such a meal. Not really appetizing, is it? I'd like to conclude the first part of this teaching on spirit, soul, and body by recapping what we've spoken about this morning. To recap, we said that God has created us spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit. That's the eternal part of us that lives forever and is already living eternally. A spirit is the seat of the will and the intellect. the part that knows. See that the scripture teaches us that no man knows the deep things of man, like God as well, except that spirit of the man and the spirit of God. And then we looked at the soul. The soul is the seat of the appetites, and there's four of them. Appetites, desires, emotions, and passions. The soulish realm is the battleground where there's a continuous battle between our flesh, our old fleshly nature, and the new nature of Jesus, the born-again person, the Holy Spirit of God that wages warfare against our soul and our flesh on a continuous basis. And then we have our bodies. Our souls and our spirits are housed in our bodies. And I started off this series by focusing on the body, specifically in light of the challenges that we're facing today, the pandemic called coronavirus. We don't know how long the world is going to be under the sway of this wicked thing. So our desire and our prayer for you this morning is that by the grace of God and His wisdom from His word that you apply to your life will enable your body to walk in the divine health that God promised for you. The scripture teaches that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He carried our sins in His body so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His stripes, we are healed. If that is true, the question begs to be answered, how come the world is full of millions of dying, sick Christians? I submit it to you that because of ignorance and perhaps a bit of disobedience and perhaps a little bit of both and maybe even with a little bit of indifference sprinkled in there, we are systematically digging our own graves with our teeth, one mouthful at a time. God's encouragement to all of us is not to come under condemnation or heaviness about what we do to our bodies, but take courage that God wants you to finish strong. This race that we're in, it's a long-distance marathon, not a 100-meter sprint. God wants us to be healthy in body, soul, and spirit. The scripture says that He desires that we prosper in all things and be in health, even as our soul prospers. We see that in 3 John. Prosper in all things. Now, prayer is as we delve deeper and deeper into this in the coming weeks, that God will open up to you the truths in His word and the wonderful promises in His word that will help you to live a healthy, strong life where all three legs of the tripod that keeps us standing, body, soul, and spirit, can thrive, not just survive. We're made to be more than conquerors, not just survive under circumstances, but to thrive through the circumstances as we allow God to bring us health and prosper spirit, soul, and body. I pray that this message has challenged you and encouraged you. Especially, I want to encourage you to start meditating on those passages of Scripture, Romans chapter 8 and in Galatians chapter 5, give you a little bit of deeper teaching about soul and spirit, and allow God to open up to you and challenge you for where you are at in your life in terms of how to look after your body. And folks, I want to leave you this question, dear listener. If you're sitting and you're watching and you've got an issue in your body where the doctors have given up hope, no medication that can help, no procedure that they can do for you, and modern medical science has basically written you off, I want to encourage you that God has not written you off. I pray that you seek God's face and ask God to give you wisdom as to what you should do in terms of how to look after your body for where you are at. Call out to God and He'll answer you. And may He give you wisdom and allow the blood in your body to start doing what God created it to do, and that is to bring divine healing and divine health to your body. You see, folks, modern medical science and doctors can only take us so far. And they have a place in this world. Medicines and doctors do. But when they've done their best and it falls short, we need to trust God to do the rest. And that's my encouragement to each and every single one of you. Before we close off, I'd love to pray with you. If you have an ailment in your body, something that's troubling you, and a sickness that you can just not shake, some of you are watching and you're thinking, there's the sickness that has come and it's gone, and it's come and it's gone. And you've even wished to yourself that it would just never come again. And you've wrestled this thing through in your mind, knowing what the scripture promises, and yet at the same time, the reality that you're living in is that you're not walking in the divine health that God promised you. I'd love to pray with you this morning. If you pray the prayer of faith, the scripture says that the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous will achieve much. That's powerful. And you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stand with you in agreement this morning as we pray together and believe God to start the healing process in your body. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for every precious life that has heard the truth of your words this morning. I thank you for every receptive soul that has heard the truth and is willing to apply and believe your word at face value. I pray for wisdom and discernment for each person that's trusting you for a miracle in their body. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you reach out and touch those bodies, Lord, that you bring healing where there's healing necessary. Thank you that we can come against the spirit of infirmity that keeps your people in bondage of sickness and pain and suffering. And in your name, Lord Jesus, we command those spirits to go in the name of Jesus. Every sickness, every disease, every pain, every ailment that your people are suffering from, we serve notice on that this morning in the name of Jesus, and we trust that you bring healing and restoration to those bodies that are the temple of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for health and strength to those sick bodies, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I want to encourage you. Remember to keep watching in the weeks that follow as we continue the series on spirit, soul, and body. And in this week, ask God to speak to you as to the positive, practical changes that you can make to your life. Remember, this is not a diet. This is a positive lifestyle change that can bring life to your body. Thank you for making the time to listen to us. We trust that you and your family stay safe, healthy, and COVID-free. Till such time that we talk together again around God's word, may Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Take care.